Welcome to Sustainable Sessions, hosted by yours truly, Lucas and Lauren. Episode 17, featuring Ixam Bioproducts.
So my name is Noor Sheikh. I am originally from Pakistan, and currently I'm living in Toronto, Ontario. And so I am the CTO for Ixam, and Daniel, he is the CEO.
My name is Daniel Gonzalez. I'm from Colombia. Ixam is a company that develops biocomposite materials for the construction industry. So we have developed a technology based on, the core value of our technology is based on our biopolymers, which we, in other words, we take like from natural gelatins. And with this component, this allow us to utilize different type of byproducts from other industries. So currently we are we have worked with different fibers such as corn stover, sawdust, bean husk, coffee husk, and all of these to replace the conventional materials within structures. So these materials basically are developed to meet interior partitions and also wall coverings, or so maybe you have seen like this type of stone veneers within homes. So the idea is to make this, but with natural materials. This name Ixam, we take this name from the Mayan culture, which actually it was the word that they utilized to refer everything related to corn. So that's where we actually take that inspired from there.
Cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. I guess a question I have right off the bat is, are you guys targeting more like end consumers? So this would be more like a finished product, or is it like you're trying to go to builders and provide it to them? Like which would be more of like your target market, or both potentially? I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting question. And it's actually something that we struggled with for a while. I wouldn't say struggled, but it's something that it took us some time to figure out, because like the construction industry, it is very complex. And so, we're kind of targeting both, but I would say our immediate market is more of the companies and the builders that use this. So eventually the end customers would kind of buy these materials from the builders. But so right now we're focusing on primarily these construction companies and also architects and designers that actually recommend these products to the end users.
Awesome. A question that I have for you guys is, where do you source the waste material kind of from, and how does that get incorporated into your production process or even like the research and development? Kind of how did all of that come into fruition?
Yeah, so, well, it is like a long story. Well, initially I started this in Colombia. It was more like for curiosity. So initially I was thinking like how we can develop new type of materials without utilizing like conventional raw materials as mine aggregates or plastics to bond like composite materials. Mm-hmm. So initially I went to talk to crop fields and talk with people over there. There are very interesting facts that maybe we can explain you more in detail about like how this recovering process occur. But one thing is to work with all these type of industrial waste or byproducts, fibers byproducts. So we just actually recover them once the grains or fruits are harvested, and then we just make a process normally or typically production processes which are based on we make these with conventional equipment, because we don't want to break out the conventional ways to produce materials. And this is for a reason, because as Noor was saying, we are based on a B2B business model. So the idea is that other companies actually can apply this into their production processes. But also with the other part, like with the natural binders that we utilize, it was based on, and here in Canada, it was very easy to talk with people that actually work in this sector. And we just show what we were doing, what are the proposals that we are targeting. and niche just that like creates or give us like the space to develop like very easily like composite materials on the whole.
Cool. Yeah.
So I just wanted to add that like the supplying part and like finding these suppliers, we kind of tied that into sustainability as well. And we really wanted to kind of have like a social benefit to that. So like eventually when we started, we really were like, and I mean, we still are kind of focusing on farmers and also other like low-income communities from where we can source these waste products from. Mm-hmm. So that kind of gives them an added source of revenue while also kind of taking the waste out of circulation.
I just want like to complement one thing that is, we develop these binders from fish waste or from fish crops. So as Nur was saying, we approach to these fishing fishing communities, and the idea is to leverage all these type of procedures to upgrade this and create high quality materials. But we like have like found that this market or this product is already created. We just develop a new way to do it by ourselves. But also we have worked with companies that already are developing like this type of products. So yeah, it is the social part of develop our own binders. And you can think this in a way that communities that are not close to big cities. So if they have crops and if they have their like fish crops, actually they can create materials for construction. But on the other side, these have like a relation and economic and social economic part that most of the companies or like more specifically the construction companies, the first things that they ask is about price as well and the operational costs. So price of the final product and the operational costs in general. So that's those two values like we have like tried to merge to present actually or to be competitive in the market.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like especially with construction, even us as well with the plastic pavement, like that really, at the end of the day, a lot of builders are always going to be focused and be cost oriented. And so to find like a good balance, even if you're just slightly over than the conventional route, you obviously have a lot of other benefits in terms of like the social impact that you're having and sustainability components. So to be also competitive with the pricing is definitely really crucial as well.
It's something similar with plastic. As a group. Yeah. It is not only the problem with the waste part or disposal part, but also from the extraction to the operational, or as a group in the operational part, manufacturing processes, a lot of impacts actually arise from this part, not only from the disposal part. And here there's a huge problem. So that's our idea as well. We have worked on how to develop like new type of materials that we can reduce how much amount of energy we are utilizing, how much resources actually we are extracting. And if we can reduce this as well, not only cost value is going down, but also like activities or harm activities within this process can be as well like minimized.
Mm-hmm. A question that I have, is there kind of like something that you've learned along the way, or like what's your favorite part of this entire supply chain that you've like learned throughout your research of like operating your business? Like, is there one part that you were like, oh my gosh, like I didn't even realize that these communities like had all this waste? Like what was some kind of like aha moments for both of you?
Yeah, so I mean, definitely like in terms of like when we were doing the research, this thing about like how much, especially for fibers, like how much fibers are like either burned or just disposed of once they're harvested. And even here in Ontario, which was very interesting. And then I think in terms of fish, it was kind of similar, but generally for crops, I think we have some more details. So like about 1/3 of the crops are like just burned, which also results in a lot of carbon emissions. And they're primarily burned because the farmers, they don't really have any other way of dealing with them. So we specifically looked at corn, but we know that this happens with like a lot of different fibers. So that was one of the really interesting things.
Nice.
Yeah, I will add that another thing is that, like, linked to what Noor was saying, is like once it's better to take these crops that are going to be fired and just close them in a block. So in other words, these you can call this as carbon sequestration. Mm-hmm. Sorry. So instead of corn, the residues actually works for feed the soil, you know, but like a 25% from these actually can be recovered, and instead of just leaving there burning on or leave this natural decomposition process to occur, you can just take this out and just enclose this in a block, so you can just like actually you are just enclosing CO2.
Nice. Wow. Yeah, no, it's a really cool technology. We're like really excited to see where you guys go. I guess the kind of did you want to say something?
Yeah, so I just remembered one other really interesting thing. So initially, we basically just started with those two raw materials, which were the crop fibers and the fish byproducts that we turned into like the natural binder. But then also like during our journey over the last 2 years, we also came across other industrial byproducts, which are also really interesting. And we have utilized some of those in our prototype development. So one of those, I guess I want to mention, is cement kiln dust, which is it's a byproduct that arises from the production of cement. And there's huge quantities of this, which is just like a natural byproduct. So currently, like all of this is just sent to landfills because there's really no kind of purpose for this yet, other than either like as aggregates or some other like low quality construction material. But yeah, like most of it is just sent to landfills. So we've also utilized this in our prototypes, and we feel that this has also given us like more added value in terms of utilizing these other byproducts.
Nice.
Yeah, I feel like you guys are kind of diversified in all these different areas of waste. Do you think that there's one that's better over the other, or are you like happy with like where you're kind of going with all these different silos, or do you want to incorporate different types of binders as you like continue your research going forward?
That's a really good question, because actually, well, we don't think that like maybe a fiber is better than another one. The core value of this actually is to be totally versatile. Mm-hmm. So our technology actually is based on that. There are two, as we were saying, two main principles. One is the circular economy, to work with these industrial wastes and leverage all these residues, but also the inclusive industrialization. So mm-hmm. we just work with our binders. This is like something that is like that we want to keep, but the idea is that or to work with different type of fibers. We, as I mentioned, we have worked like with already five different types of crop byproducts, mm-hmm. and what this means is that we can work in different regions. We can work with local materials, and this will like give us some advantages as well. Not only in terms of cost, but most importantly in environmental side, to develop actually or to work or present like new solutions within the construction industry.
Awesome. Yeah. To kind of just step back a little bit too, can you guys just explain a little bit about like how you guys even started this journey? So like, how did you guys even come together to form this business? Like, what was the initial like, okay, this is how we want, why did you guys even pick the construction industry, and like how did you guys kind of even get all that going? Sorry, just to backtrack there.
So my background is basically like as an engineer, so I did engineering in my undergrad, and that's where I got really interested into sustainability, and specifically civil engineering. So I took a few courses in that, specifically related to like sustainable materials. Yeah, so I got really interested in that, and I also did an internship at a local municipality recycling center. So kind of analyzing data for all the recycling in the city of Atlanta. That's where I used to live before. So that kind of really got me interested in that. And I also kind of applied for the LEED Green Associate certification, which is part of the Green Building Council. It's one of their certifications. And so then after that, then I applied to the University of Waterloo's Sustainability Management Program, because I really wanted to get more involved in like this industry and focus more on life cycle assessment, which is very prominent in like the construction sector. And so that's where I met Daniel. And so then we were in the same program. And so we like got along really well from the start. And so as I think he already mentioned, it was his idea that he kind of pitched to me, and then we decided to like work together. So we've been working on this for almost about 2 years now. But yeah.
It's been a journey.
Yeah.
Daniel, go ahead.
I have a undergraduate in industrial design. So since then, like I started working, first with this, like on developing like composite material. I was like very curious with this. So I just, at that time, I just made like a different type of prototypes. But by that time, I really don't like understand what I was doing, like in terms of sustainability values or terms. So then I present like this as well, like this initiative or project to the University of Waterloo, because I wanted like to know like more in depth what was happening with these like cool materials I was like looking on. And then, well, as Noor told you guys, like we met here in the university. We just talked like a few things about the project, like initially how we were going to tackle like the things, because just to contextualize you guys, when I came here or when we started here, there was nothing. And we started from there, from that point, like, okay, first we have to find a place to develop our prototypes. First, we have to see, to find as well some suppliers, how we're gonna develop these. As well, we need some molds, we need some basic equipment. So that was like absolutely like a very cool process, which both starting like working on. I guess like both have like complementary skills as well. I'm doing like in the, I have some like knowledge in life cycle assessment as well. So basically we are like performing these type of studies on our materials to compare what are the difference from extraction to final disposal that IXIM materials compared to conventional materials. This could be like conventional, like interior bricks or masonry systems, drywalls, another type that like very common materials that utilize in partitions or room dividers. So yeah, I think that's what was like interesting from, or to start like this initiative. Just one more thing that we wanted to add is like in this like pursue of looking things or like undeveloped idea, we present as well the project to the Accelerator Center. I don't know if you have heard about this.
Yeah.
So yeah, we started working as well this year, actually like by, it was like in March, well.
Yeah, in March.
Oh my gosh, no, I worked there last summer for one of my co-op terms. I'm not sure if they're still there, but if you've heard of Exo Insights, they do virtual and augmented reality. I think they might have graduated from the accelerator, but definitely a great space to be working out of, and hopefully you can scale your business while you're there as well.
Yeah, there are very good projects over there. And since we started there as well, we have like, I guess like in haste or understand more like the business part to actually how to send our message of what actually we are doing and how to approach different stakeholders on the whole.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was kind of my next question. That's a perfect segue too. So like, obviously you guys have more technical engineering type backgrounds. What was it like to kind of go through that experience of being an entrepreneur? Like, did you guys even think you were going to be entrepreneurs when you guys started, you know, your journey at Waterloo? Like, what was that experience like, you know, kind of stepping out of your comfort zone if you didn't necessarily know you were going to go into that? And if you can just talk about that a little bit.
Or was it because of your environmental sustainability passion? Like, do you think that's kind of like what led you here? Nora, I'm pretty sure you were talking about your interest in like all the materials and stuff. Is that what drives you to do what you do every day?
Yeah, for me, I think it's definitely like the sustainability part, and yeah, and also like the circular economy part, because that's what I am really passionate about, and basically like reducing the amount of waste. Yeah, so that's like something that I've been really interested since I was young. But so, yeah, and I guess something interesting is that like, so when we started, since both of us, we're also in the sustainability management program, and I guess that's also kind of part of our background. So when we started this, we were really focusing on the environmental and social aspects that our products would provide. Yeah, but so when we started with the Accelerator Center, then we also realized that obviously the economics and cost is also a really important thing. And yeah, so that definitely did put us a bit out of our comfort zone, but I would say that we have like learned a lot through the mentors and everyone else in the Accelerator Center. And so I feel like we're definitely on a good path, and like, yeah, like, so we have figured out a lot of things that we might not have kind of figured out like earlier in the process. So it's definitely like very exciting to like learn all these things and yeah, grow with it.
Nice. Yeah. And Daniel, if you want to touch on that too a little bit, kind of just building off what Nora said, yeah, like entrepreneurship is just such a messy journey. Like, you think you're going one way and then you hit kind of like a roadblock, you have to pivot and change things up. So it's so interesting to hear your story and like how it kind of all comes together. But yeah, what's that journey been like for you, Daniel?
Yeah, I think it's pretty similar. Like, I started like a very natural process, I would say. This happened like as that. Like, I just was like passionate on like initially with the industrial design part. So actually I was always like figuring out how to develop things with my own hands, like to produce. So it was like the first, I guess, like a point to start working on this. Then when I started like understanding, okay, we're like doing something cool, why we don't like take the chance and try to understand better what this is about. And after that, I think like came here like to Canada, that like fit my like spiritual or entrepreneur like spiritual side, because there's a lot of as well like support, and we actually have like take advantage of that, because we see that here is like it's very like good how we like the way that we can connect things, not only with the suppliers but also how we can approach with different people that have like teach us different things. So this is like once you go like through that path, and once you start in like connecting the points from the sustainable part but also from the business side, you get more passionate about all of this, and once you notice, you are totally in the road, you know.
The green light. You see the green light.
So that's why I say like it's a very like, for me it was like a very natural process, which well, it's still like we have still like a long path to continue like working on, but it's very encouraging to do it.
That's awesome. And it's great to hear kind of like entrepreneur to entrepreneur, hearing everyone's different stories and just how it kind of encapsulates into every aspect of your life. A question that I have for you guys is, in terms of if people want to get more information in terms of what you're doing, or specifically looking at that niche of climate change, so whether it's the circular economy or even the waste side or the sustainable material side, where do you recommend people can look for resources, like either like articles, other podcasts,
books, like anything,
yeah. Or even like within your program? I'm not sure if there's anything you would recommend, but yeah, let us know.
Sure. Yeah, I can touch a bit on that. So there's actually quite a lot of resources, especially like that have come out in the last 1 or 2 years, given like the increasing, I guess, importance to circular economy. Two that come right off the top of my head are the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, which they're doing like a great job on kind of promoting the circular economy. They have a website and they kind of work with governments, different industries, and other organizations to like promote the circular economy in different scales. The other one is the OECD, which also have, they have like great content on generally what the circular economy is and kind of the different initiatives and yeah, basically other kind of things. And then in terms of our own material, so we have a website which is called www.iximbio.com. That's iximbio.com. Yeah, and we also have a LinkedIn page, and like, so we're active on basically on all social media. Well, actually, we're just starting to get more active on it. So, yeah, so this is also part of like the entrepreneurial journey, but like in terms of marketing, we're just starting to focus on that, like now that we've finished our prototyping stage. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we're active on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
Awesome.
Perfect. Yeah, I guess to kind of build things off too, and it's great that you guys are getting into that marketing. We're really happy that you guys are able to join this podcast, like you said, to work with other sustainable entrepreneurs. That's kind of why we even started this, is because we want to provide an outlet for people to have a platform and share their message, and also just to learn and hear more from them as well. So I guess as we kind of taper things off here, if you can kind of like leave our audience with a final, like maybe statistic or something new that you've heard about in the industry, or like maybe even just like a quote or a story even that you want to leave them off with. Do you have anything that we'll let you each go, but something that you got kind of want to just leave off for the audience?
Well, one important thing, I guess, like that we have understood is like the understand stories that like the problems that actually occurs in the, I will say not only in the construction industry, but this happens like in a lot of other sectors. I was mentioning initially that one of our like I would say like one of our like intentions to work or to develop this project is because not only the CO2 emissions that are, that actually is 1/3 created by the construction industry, like it's a real problem, but also like the extraction of virgin materials, that's enormous, and as well that the high amounts of energy that are required, that's something that definitely we have to mix, like in, like in a big scale, something we have to try to tackle that with new type of technologies. Because in the future, when we don't have like this type of resources, or if we don't have more plastic, or if plastic is banned, how are we gonna develop like new type of composites? And I would say this is one interesting part, the how these, like these facts or these numbers like open you like the eyes and give you like a sense of, look, these are like the points that we have to start working on. But also another like interesting part is like to see how the industrial inclusive industrialization actually can give you an opportunity of create new values, not only for society, but also like in, like for a business, for the future of business, I would say. So, because it is not only about to just focus on one side and on, okay, let's do this, let's just work with this type of raw materials. Actually, the idea to merge different sectors or byproducts from other sectors give you an advantage, because you are involving more stakeholders, and in this way you can have like more collaborative ways actually to produce or make new production processes, which in certain way will reduce a lot of things, not only like virgin materials, but also cost, and also disposal or yes, amount of waste, we could say. So I think this is very cool. It is very like nice to know. Yeah, I don't know if Noor want to add something else, but
One interesting fact I had was, so concrete is the single most widely used material in the world after water, and it's said to be responsible for like about 4 to 8% of the world's CO2 emissions. So that's just concrete. And then, so if you look at the construction sector as a whole, I think Daniel already mentioned that it contributes like about 1/3 of the world's carbon emissions. So that's like a huge number.
That's really crazy.
Yeah, didn't know that.
Wow.
And one little thing as well, like everywhere you can have like CO2 emissions, and that's something like really like this is very tricky like to get off, because from the agricultural side, the type of waste that you can have, this, as Noru mentioned as well, this create different type of emissions. In the case of corn stover, when not only when you burn it, but when it happens this natural decomposition, you get CO2. But with all type of fibers, it could be a good example is rice. You generate as methane, which basically is like 24 times more powerful than CO2. So in certain way, you know, like in different sizes, you always have like this type of emissions that are finally is going to impact climate change and human health. So yeah, this is good to know, because in certain way you have to know how you can tackle this and how you can manage all these problems to create like new type of I will say like channels or like business models that enhance all these or the tackle of these sustainable problems and issues.
Awesome. Yeah, we need more people like you guys stepping up, because like Nora said, like it's something that we're so reliant on, and all over the world, everyone's using concrete and all these like non-sustainable building materials. So really to have more players in the game to start offering these
and
new
processes, to new ways of doing things, I think that's the biggest thing. Because we're going to have to start innovating quickly before time runs out. But, well, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It was a pleasure having both of you, and it was nice meeting both of you as well.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you would like to learn more, visit us at www.last20.ca. Until next time, stay sustainable.